Hi, everyone. Rich here. Many, many years ago, and I mean many, when I was an undergraduate student in college, I invited my then girlfriend over to my dorm room to study for an upcoming exam. At one point, she signaled that she wanted to take a little break and asked me if I wanted to see something cool on the computer. So we both sat at my desk and she took control of the keyboard. In about 30 seconds, she was logged into the personal files of every single university student, past and present. The academic records of hundreds of thousands of current and former students were just literally right there. She even admitted to having read my academic files, including my admission essay. I didn't know what to say. And just as quickly as she had logged in, she logged out, and it was all over. Now, the internet was still fairly new. This was the 90s, after all, and I was connecting to the internet via dial-up modem. But I had never seen anything like this before. I was stunned at what one could do remotely with a simple internet connection. Now, of course, I knew what she did was wrong, and had I known what she was intending to do before she did it, I would have never allowed it. She worked at the registrar's office. Scary, right? She was entrusted with this incredible privilege. Yet she violated this trust right before my eyes, her own boyfriend, in a casual and relaxed manner. So reflecting on this story has got me thinking a lot about all the people who have access to my personal information. The airlines, the banks, my local grocery store, that giant hotel chain whose loyalty program I'm a member of. Oh, and the local gym. As you can imagine, there's a mind-boggling number of people who work at various businesses who have access to your personal data. And if that's not concerning enough, what about random people who might ask employees about others' personal information? Now, we've talked a lot about social engineering on this podcast, but what if social engineering is not always premeditated? What if it could happen unintentionally? Well, today's story demonstrates just how easy it is to access personally identifiable information about virtually anyone, even if you're not an employee of a business. And it all starts with a stolen wallet. Oh, and in case you're wondering, yes, I broke up with that girlfriend.
You're listening to Privacy Files. This episode is brought to you by Anonymy Labs, makers of MySudo, the world's only all-in-one privacy app, and Sudo Platform, the cloud-based platform companies turn to for seamlessly integrating privacy solutions into their software. And please check out our newest offering, MySudo VPN, now available in the App Store and Play Store, a consumer VPN that is actually private.
Sarah. Welcome back. Haven't seen you in a while.
It has been a while. It's school season. School, you know, life happens. It gets busy. Chaotic, but I'm back.
Good to have you. This one's going to be interesting. We've talked a few times on this podcast about social engineering, but this one almost feels like there's an element of unintentional social engineering involved. And so I'm going to be really interested to hear this story and how it plays out and kind of, again, keep people thinking top of mind about just how easy it is to have others just access stuff about you, just personal information, whatever. It's really hard to combat, but I think this is a good story, good insight. Are you ready to open up a case file?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's open up a case file on personally identifiable information. Sedge, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
This is a cool story. I think this is just going to be a lot of you just talking, and I guess Sarah and I, and maybe just listening and asking some questions here and there. So why don't you just go ahead and jump right into it?
Yeah. So I would say probably 6 weeks ago, I was working out at the gym. I think I was using the sauna. Not exactly sure which, maybe the sauna or the bike. Those are my two most frequent places that I frequent at the gym. But anyway, I was finishing up a workout, had driven home. And when I got home, I realized that my wallet was not in my pocket. So I ended up planning out a trip to Europe that night. And so my original intention was to book some tickets back to Sweden, where I have personal items that I need to gather eventually from being a student there. And yeah, I didn't realize that I was missing my wallet or that it had been taken or stolen at the time. And so I thought nothing of it and thought that I had just left it in my car or something like that. And then the next morning, morning as I was getting ready to come into work, I realized that I didn't have my wallet on me. So I either lost my wallet in one of three ways, I think. So one, either as I was going to use the bathrooms or the urinals, the perpetrator will say, either took the wallet out of my bag, either it fell out of my pocket as I was getting into my car, or they took it directly out of my car.
What do you usually do when you go to the gym when it comes to your really valuable belongings like wallet and keys? Where do you keep them?
Yeah, so I usually keep them in a locker, locked up. Now, I was thinking, okay, this is Utah. So in my mind, it's
underestimate Utah.
Right. So in my mind, my thoughts, it's sort of a high trust society, kind of like Sweden is, right? So Sweden, there's, I would say, a lot less crime than you would see maybe in a place like San Francisco or something like that.
You can leave your baby outside in the winter.
Right.
Outside the restaurant.
Yeah. So in my mind, I didn't think really anything of leaving my backpack unattended for 10 or 15 seconds while I go, obviously not 10 or 15 seconds, right? Like a minute or so going and using the urinal or whatnot. But yeah, it either happened in one of those three locations.
Have you ever seen anything suspicious? I mean, how long have you been going to this particular gym?
Probably a month, maybe a month and a half. So I'd gone a couple times. I actually used to live pretty close to that gym because that's where my grandpa actually used to live. At one point in time, I was with my grandpa for a period of time. So I was very close to that gym and never really thought anything of it in terms of a place that's sketchy or anything like that.
Never had a bad vibe.
No.
So I'm not sure who you bank with, but did you get any alerts or anything when they started using your card? Because I know when I've had transactions, I'll get text messages like within minutes because they've got their own algorithm knowing like, oh, this is outside of Sarah's normal spending or this is a different city she's not usually in. And my bank's real quick to let me know something's going up. I say, no, that's not me. And they shut everything down immediately. So I'm not sure. Did you get any warnings or anything?
So it's kind of interesting because I was in meetings all afternoon for about 6 hours. And my thought is when I woke up in the morning to grab my wallet, typical thing that I do before I leave for work, I couldn't find it. And my thought was like, OK, I'll deal with it later. No big deal. As I was leaving work, getting notifications from my credit card company saying, hey, there's some fraudulent activity and things like that. And that's when I started getting a little bit concerned, we'll say, and rushed home. Hopped on my computer to see what transactions had taken place, realized that someone was running around having a shopping spree on my credit card and on my other cards. And so then I started contacting all my credit card companies, shutting everything down, canceling credit cards, canceling debit cards, canceling
such
basically everything that I could think of that was in my wallet.
It's where virtual cards come in, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It would have saved me a few times because I was letting you guys know before we got on, our home was burglarized while we were home asleep. And I remember waking up in the morning, getting those pings like, hey, you've got a charge because they were busy shopping all night while I was asleep. But, you know, I had investigators helping me out. But it sounds like you ran around town investigating for yourself.
Yeah. So maybe that's a bit of the detective inside of me. But after I'd seen where they had gone and shopped, they had shopped at the mall. So there's a mall about a mile or two away from where I live. And they had gone on a shopping spree at a couple different locations there, had bought some shoes and whatnot. Probably over the course of a 24-hour period, I think they spent between $1,000 and $2,000.
And so how many hours until you started being involved in, I guess, shutting everything down?
So I realized around 6 p.m. that evening, I spent about an hour and a half on the phone and then ran over after I realized how much they had spent and when they had spent it. I ran over to these different stores in the mall and essentially had let them know that someone had stolen my wallet and had spent a considerable amount of money, at least in my mind, on shoes at their store.
You're being really proactive.
Yeah.
So it's been like 24 hours since you lost your card, right? This was your wallet. So it was the evening before.
Yeah.
So go the whole day you're working and then start taking it. Okay.
Right. So they started buying things really late that night, probably around like 1 a.m. and they continued up until I had canceled my credit cards around 6 or 7 p.m. the following day.
Got it. So it kind of seems like there are settings that you can check with whoever you're banking with to see, like, if there's suspicious activity, they can send you text messages, give me alert. Oh, I always set my alerts on. And my husband, I know, even, I think he has an Apple card we're connected with. So he's even getting notifications on his phone as the transactions are happening. And he sees them pop up and he'll be like, are you shopping at Amazon again? I'm like, yeah, that was me. So he'll get the charges for everything so he can see as it's happening. So if people could check on that, I guess, as well. Is just check your settings, check your notifications.
And these were all stores that you normally would not shop at?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So for example, with shoes, I tend to have a bit more of a wide toe box. And so there's only certain types of shoes that fit my foot. So I'm very specific on the types of shoes. And so I'm not sure if they saw the type of shoes or the size or whatnot. But yeah, I got a notification. And so I went to that store and asked them about the transaction. And they actually told me something that I couldn't believe that they said, but they had told me when I had told them that somebody had stolen or spent around $400. They asked me around what time and I told them, and they're like, oh yeah, it must have been the smelly kids that walked in.
Distinguished.
Yeah. And I said, the smelly kids. And they said, yeah. The smelly kids. And they said, yeah, they stunk really bad. And I just kind of chuckled, but I was also obviously very frustrated with the situation at hand. And so when that happened, I asked them, I said, well, can you get me some footage or positive ID who this person is? And they said, yeah, let me go take a look. I'm dealing with a customer, but afterwards I'll go take a look and see what I can find on our security footage. And so they went through their security footage and they actually airdropped. So he had filmed some security footage and airdropped it to my phone, let me know that I could contact him in the future if I needed to. And right before I left the store, he then gave me a critical piece of information, which was the perpetrator's email address.
So this was the shoe store.
That's correct. Crazy to me, okay, that anybody can walk in and get security footage. That part alone kind of seems like police access, you know, like, yeah, you'd have to have, not like maybe a subpoena, but a police officer would have to be there to request something like that.
Correct.
And did you ask for any of that information? Or you just went in there with the intent of giving them a heads up?
Well, so I went in there with the intent of collecting information.
But so, they willingly gave up an email address.
Correct. From what I understand, they used the perpetrator used the email address to collect points.
Rewards points.
Or whatnot. And so,
not very smart, bless their hearts. But it did sound like it was kids.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So it was, yeah, eventually I found out that the person was, you know, a minor or 17 years old. So almost an adult. But yeah. So, and I should also mention, during that initial phase of realizing that my credit card had been stolen and me shutting down all my cards, which was a frustration in and of itself because you can't buy anything during that time. You have to wait for them
to send you another one. And yeah.
Even with a virtual card, sometimes it's not as...
Because they can send you
user friendly for everything.
Yeah, even virtual cards, we always talk about My Pseudos, but I know with the banks, they'll be like, well, we can give you your virtual information to use if you need it. But it's, to me, I'm just like, ugh, well, now that's out there. You know, it's just, I'd rather wait for the physical, but that takes time. It's such a pain to have to reset all that.
And for example, it may not work at, let's say, a gas station, which is, having moved from Sweden, which is where I was living for grad school, I didn't really carry U.S. dollars on me on a regular basis. And so
most people are cashless now.
Right. Which is probably a topic for another.
Yeah. Don't get us going podcast. Down a cashless society. Yeah. Don't do it.
Hold her back.
But anyway, at this point, I had already filed a case with the police department here in Utah. Mm-hmm. And so I had a case number. And so the next place that I went after I had gathered that information, and by the way, I also have to mention, it was very funny to see in the first security footage that these kids were walking around with face masks. Mm. Right. So I'm sure they were very concerned about COVID.
Right. That was one concern I always brought up over the years is people using that as a way to get around the robberies.
Yeah.
So I'm curious again, back to the person that was helping you. I mean, to the best of your ability, you know, you're just kind of looking at this individual. Did they look like they were a more tenured person at the store? Or is this somebody you would...
Yeah, it was actually one of the store managers.
Oh, it was?
Geez. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That seems like a bad store policy to be able to need to have some training happening again.
And they're just offering up, here's security footage, here's the email address.
Right. I'm sure they were obviously, from the good of their heart, they're like, oh, I want to help this person, but... There's protocol, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll say I went to a very large retailer that probably everyone shops at, keep it anonymous for privacy reasons, where they had spent about $300 or $400 as well at that establishment and had told them what had happened. And they basically said, hey, as you had mentioned, Sarah, that the police needed to be involved and that the police actually needed to reach out in order for me to collect and gather that information.
I have a feeling they deal with
this
situation quite frequently.
Yeah, they have experts on that one.
Yep.
So next, I went to a local grocery store, also pretty big, but we'll say local. And they had mentioned that they have no way to identify who it was because they have so many different machines for you to check out. So they indicated to me to come back in the morning and talk to the bookkeeper. So that night, obviously couldn't sleep super well because I was very frustrated with the situation, obviously frustrated with myself. How could I be so stupid? Thoughts like that. And then on the flip as well, being frustrated with the individual that was running around having a shopping spree and running around with my wallet, which had very important pieces, personal identifiable information for me. For example, I had my student ID card from Europe. I had ID from Europe as well. I had my personal home address that had, for example, my mom's home address because that's my most permanent address. And so there were a lot of personal pieces that obviously I don't want someone who's running around spending money and getting into trouble knowing those things about me.
I think this is one good use case where I think decentralized identity would be just a great fix for all of this, because now you're not walking around with physical cards that have all of your data on it.
Right. Because who knows if they take a picture of that.
Use it later.
Yeah.
Come back at a different time and hit you again.
Right.
Yep.
So yeah. So after not getting very much sleep that night, the next morning, I went to the grocer to talk to the bookkeeper, and crazy enough, when I showed up there, the bookkeeper had piles of money that he was sorting at the moment. And I said, hey, you know, I'd like to see the security footage that I was indicated that I could. And they said, essentially, no, you can't without the police involved. And I said, well, I have a case number. Can you forward it to that case number? And they said, no, they said the police have to contact them directly. And so I was like, okay, that's
frustrating. There's protocol, right?
Yeah, there's protocol, yeah. Apparently, at least with this grocer.
Right.
And then next, I went back to that national retail chain that I think everyone probably shops at. And when I went there, the individual that I reached out to was different than the individual the previous day. And so I maybe played a little bit dumb, right? Maybe acted a little bit. But I essentially said, hey, you know, someone stole this amount at this specific time. Would you guys be able to help me identify who that is and share that with the police? And they said, when did it take place? And I told them the time that it took place sort of in the early afternoon. And so they opened up their security footage to me. They basically let me sit in the room where they collect all their security footage on their servers and things like that. And within 15 minutes, they had gathered not only what they had bought, they had gathered the security footage of that individual. So they had bought a 55-inch TV, a fancy brand. They didn't buy something like a Sony or a Samsung or anything like that. They bought sort of a...
Maybe they figured they'd fly under the radar a bit if it wasn't too extravagant.
Right, right. Who knows? But that's essentially what they bought. And the retailers had told me as well that they had told the individuals as they were leaving to not do what they were doing, to think about like their long-term opportunities that they're throwing away by stealing and things like that.
So I'm surprised they didn't hold them and wait for, because I always feel like that store has officers not too far away. I feel like they're on site usually.
So they knew what was going on, but they
let them go.
So what's interesting is they tried to hold them and they kept trying to convince them like, hey, once you leave the store, this changes the situation for you. And
it'll get worse if you walk out here.
Essentially.
Got it.
And so they had told the kids there and the kids told them to F off and were very aggressive towards them. Now, what's interesting as well is when I was gathering footage, as you recall, at the previous store, the previous day at a different retailer, we'll say, this retailer, their systems were much more sophisticated than I had anticipated. So it would zoom into the individual's face. Again, the individual was wearing a face mask because they were very concerned about getting sick, right? So you have that. And then as well, I had a bird's eye view of the individual pulling out not only my credit card to pay for things, but they also had pulled out my ID, my Swedish ID, as they were pulling out to pay. So I'm guessing that, I don't know, but I'm guessing that the employees that were there at the time had realized that he was pulling out an ID that wasn't his own and put two and two together and realized that he was in the process of committing some sort of identity theft.
Especially if it was from a different country, that would have been pretty obvious. Right. And so at this point, no debit cards are involved. It's all credit card.
Correct. They did have my debit cards. Actually, I had two bank cards of mine, one from the US and then one that I used overseas as well. Maybe three. I don't know.
Because debit would be harder. You'd need the PIN for that. Yeah. So credit's a lot easier.
Yeah. But it's still concerning, right? Because your bank account is tied to that, which is much more vulnerable, right? So credit card companies sort of have this layer of protection, which can be frustrating. But so that happened. And then so they had provided me all that information. They had provided me security footage. Turns out it was the exact same person with the exact same friends running around doing a spending spree. And then after that had transpired, I was hopping back in my car, a little bit frustrated still. And my mom had actually called and she said, hey, why don't you go back to the gym where your wallet had gotten stolen and try and go through the trash or whatnot? And I was like, I'm not dumpster diving over a $20 wallet or something like that. And she said, well, maybe your cards will be there. And I said, no, because they have all of my cards, as I saw. And later I found out they also had my wallet as well. And so but I did end up going back to the gym. And
where is your police investigator during all this? Are they communicating with you that they're actually doing anything? Ours were pretty responsive in doing all of this for us. So
yeah, I guess what I'm fascinated about is a lot of times, because there's so, I don't think people realize how often this takes place. Mm-hmm. How did you get some of this high profile, seems like VIP service attention? I mean, a lot of times I just hear you file this report and then nothing ever gets done.
I think there was a couple things. One, I acted within the first 24 hours. So it's fresh on the brain of the individuals that were involved, right? So my advice I would say to anyone who's put in this situation in the future is to act as quickly as you can so that it's fresh in the memory of those individuals, whether it's employees or whatnot. The other thing that I was doing on the side is as I was gathering this information, I would send it to the officer on duty or the officer that was assigned to that case. And so, for example, I had sent them the transactions that took place once I had gotten that video footage airdropped to me from the retailer where they had bought a bunch of shoes. I had emailed that to the police officer as well. And so I'm sort of gradually building that case for them over this 24-hour period.
Well, Sherlock Holmes, I just left mine to my investigators. They were pretty on top of it. They caught the guy and all that. But props to you for going the extra mile.
I think for me, I just couldn't let it keep festering. I just wanted to figure out who it was. Plus, I think as well, because it was at a gym, right? I want to know who this individual is.
May run into him again.
Right. And who knows what sort of confrontation you might have. And so, So anyway, next I ended up going to the gym, back to the gym. And at this point, I had two different videos from two different retailers. Again, they had the face masks covering their face, so it made it a little bit more difficult. But I approached the attendant at the gym that, scans for memberships or whatnot. And I had said, hey, can you positive ID who these individuals are? And they asked me, what for? And I said, well, they stole my wallet at the gym last night. And they, I think, became a lot more sympathetic or empathetic and took a look and couldn't positive ID either of them. And I mean, that makes sense, right? There's thousands of people that go into certain gyms in a given day.
Do they keep a photo on file? I know when I signed up to my local gym, they take your picture so that it comes up every time you scan in. Did they have any of that to like cross compare?
Yeah,
or even like timestamps if
you
knew?
So that's what I had asked them, and they said no. But then they asked me, they said, hey, do you have any other information? And I said, actually, I have an email address that
the
shoe store gave me, right? And or the place where they bought shoes at. And they said, hey, well, what's that email address? So I gave it to them. And then he's sitting there, you know, looking at some screens. And I asked him, I said, so did you find anything? And he said, yes. And I said, can I take a look? And he said, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I stepped behind the counter and I ended up seeing that he didn't have a photo ID. So to answer your question, didn't have a photo ID. But he did have his name, phone number, email address, date of birth, address, emergency contact, name, and phone number.
All there.
Yeah. So they let me take screenshots.
And he never asked you for any kind of supporting information about you saying that you had your wallet stolen.
Correct.
Nothing.
No. Yeah, it's like these people are doing it. I can see where they immediately are just like, I also want to help.
Of course.
And I'm like, oh, I want to help solve this for you. But then you're like, oh, there's protocol, you know, and it's like
anyone
and
can walk in.
Yeah. So it's like I can gather whatever I want so easily. But these people, we always have talked about in the past that the human is like the weakest link in the security chain. And that's totally what it is. It's like for this company, if this got out, that your employee is your weak link in a security chain, you could run into legal issues or they need some training happening again around the process.
Yeah, because usually those that work at the desk and gym, they're usually younger.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time.
Teenagers themselves usually.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting about that is, as you had mentioned, so this person was probably early 20s would be my guess. And the assistant store manager happened to be there at the time as well. And so, again, this was sort of midday the next day, right? The assistant store manager was there as well. And so I was talking to him and had told him what had transpired. And he essentially told me, hey, you know, if this individual is doing this, we can flag it. We can contact the police next time they come in. Apparently, this individual had lied about their age. I found this out later from the detective in charge of the case, but they had lied about their age by a year. So their date of birth that they had provided was off by a year. And then the other interesting thing is that they would flag it. And basically when the kid would come in next time, because I was in constant communication with the police, they had indicated that this kid had several warrants out for his arrest, right? And so I told the gym basically, hey, what can we do? And they said, well, we can cancel his membership as a protection to you. And I said, okay, well, can we cancel all the memberships of his family and friends as a protection for me as well? And they agreed to that. Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah. So there's that. But the last time the kid had actually scanned his membership card to get into the gym was, I think, back in April or May.
So he's using somebody else's to get in?
Potentially. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
His account was overdue.
Right.
And what's the detective? I mean, what's the detective saying in all of this? I mean, is he kind of surprised that you're able to acquire all of this data? Is he asking, how are you doing this? Is he concerned?
Yeah. So there were two different officers that were assigned to the case. One was additionally assigned because it was over the weekend. And so when I had positive ID'd who this was, they had essentially gone to the location. And I should also mention, sorry, we'll answer your question in a minute, but I should also mention that when I had gathered all that information, I saw the name of the address that they were at, and I had recognized it, but I wasn't sure from where. And so when I had seen that address, I started typing it into my Maps, you know, application. And when I typed in, I realized that the person that had stolen it had their address listed two blocks away from where I was currently residing.
No way.
Yeah. And the crazier thing is that I would go on walks on a regular basis because I like to go for walks every day. And so I would go on walks right next to his house. Turns out it's sort of a halfway house or whatnot. But yeah, I was kind of shocked that that had happened, that he was so close. And so obviously there's the temptation to get involved, right? Obviously, yeah. I didn't.
It's like knee-jerk reaction is to go confront, but you never know who you're dealing with and you don't want to end up stabbed or shot. You know, you never know.
I mean, I was tempted to reach out to his sister and be like, hey, tell your brother I want my wallet back.
It's totally, I guess, possible that over a period of time with you going to the gym that maybe you were kind of, you know, quote unquote, being stalked, right? Being profiled, they're watching your mannerisms, kind of your routine at the gym, what you do with your belongings, probably just kind of planning it out possibly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something else to think about too, is when you go somewhere on a regular basis like that, people are memorizing your routines. And
I feel like a gym is a lot easier as well, because people typically have a schedule of when they typically go. So you're probably seeing the same people over and over.
And they've got headphones in, right? They're focused
pretty,
on their workout.
Pretty oblivious.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, if there were not, heaven forbid, some sort of shooting in a gym, right? How many people would actually realize what's going on?
Right away. It'd be a little bit delayed.
Right.
I guess the important thing is use the lockers.
Right, right.
With a lock.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is I always use a locker when I'm actually locking up my stuff. Like if I go to the sauna, usually I do an hour or an hour and a half session. So I make sure to lock up my stuff. But yeah, was definitely not anticipating someone either stealing it from my backpack itself, from my car, or if dropping on the ground and then picking it up. Again, I don't know where that occurred. To go back to answer your question about what was the detective saying in all this. So I had essentially solved the case on who it was and who had stolen my wallet and all those things within 15 to 17 hours of the initial theft. And so I had asked the officer on duty if he could go to the house and basically just retrieve my wallet, because at this point I'm like, I know who it is. They live two blocks away. I could do it myself. I'm not going to do it myself, right? But I asked them if they could, and they said that they would stop by. The individual wasn't there, apparently causing some other ruckus, because a few days later, I ended up getting a call from the officer saying, hey, we have your wallet in where we're essentially, what would you call it? Where they essentially like look at the fingerprints and
doing their CSI stuff, I guess.
Yeah. They were essentially looking at that before they could turn it back over to me. But I had asked him when I had gone to gather, apparently they had stolen a car, crashed the car, and left not only my wallet in there, but their own wallet and ID in the car as well. And so I had asked the police officer, I said, how many people actually go through and do what I did? Because for me, it was incredibly frustrating, because I had some very personal items that probably have a little bit of sentimental value, right? My student ID from my master's program and my ID from living in another country and stuff like that. So, I mean, to me, it's a little bit sentimental. And he had told me most people don't ever solve the case, and most people don't solve it within 24 hours. So he's like, you're probably 0.1% of people that solve that.
Yeah,
so
I don't hear people usually doing it themselves either. Like when ours was, I was like, you just let me know what you find. They were great and all, but I didn't even think twice to like, the most we did was like, we would go on KSL because they stole like my work laptop and stuff like that. So we went on to our local marketplace to see if they were pawning it off, trying to sell it and stuff. But so that's about as much as I did.
Yeah.
These were professional criminals.
Right.
So like they had quite a history.
Yeah. And I mean, the crazy thing is in the state of Utah, I was talking to the officer. They said that I could do a couple different courses of action. One, I can sue them civilly, right? But they also had mentioned that every single transaction that occurred is a felony count.
Wow.
So this individual that's 17 years old, right? They're looking at spending, because there was at least 12 transactions that occurred, right? You could be looking at a very, very long time behind bars if the full extent of the law is enforced.
How much money did they spend overall?
Let's see. They bought some sneakers, about $400 in sneakers. They had gone to, let's see, McDonald's, Chevron, a couple other places.
Busy night.
Yeah, busy night. They had bought a TV, a couple other things. So, wow. I mean, and I should also mention that they had tried to make purchases on one of my credit cards. And those purchases that they tried to make were via the Cash App, so online purchases. So I'm guessing that those purchases were probably much higher dollar value.
I'm wondering if those were declined, because I know I've had Cash App. It looks like such a sketchy app when you open it. The interface is terrible, but their security and protection around potential fraud is actually really good. It's saved me from paying bad actors before. So I wonder if they were able to kind of help in that situation and mitigate any further damage.
Yeah, that would be my assumption. I just don't know. But the thing that I think is really interesting in general is just taking little pieces of information and sort of putting it all together, which is essentially, in my mind, what a lot of credit card companies do to sort of notify you in the first place, right? So I took that email address and ran with it, right? And ended up solving the case, we'll say, in a very short period of time, whereas most people are just like, okay, well, I'm out of luck. Right. Guess I got to go get everything brand new, whereas I got my wallet back within less than a week.
How did this all end then? I mean, I guess this is still pending.
Yeah, so it's a pending investigation. I reached out to the detective actually recently, but haven't heard back. I don't know. I mean, it's
sure
time at this podcast is sort of Labor Day week, and so it could be out with his family or whatnot, so I'm not expecting.
But you got your wallet back,
right?
Everything is recovered. Everything. You're not out any money.
No,
that was all
just your time and having to get
yeah.
credit cards,
right? Yeah. And just sort of the thought of like how rude and sort of how entitled criminals are. Certainly
it's tough with these younger ones. You kind of like you sort of feel bad because if he's got a history, there's something going on there, and you were like, oh, you kind of hope he gets the help that he needs,
right?
So that this doesn't escalate. But it's frustrating on your end. You know, I've been on that end that you're just like, you want justice. So you're like, they need to pay for it. But
right.
Were you surprised how easy it was to for some of these retailers just to get all this personal information?
Yeah, but I think I was more surprised at some of the technologies they use. For example, like zooming in on the individual's face when they think that something is fraudulent. I was very freaked out about that because I wonder
what do they consider, like what's their trigger to say, check that person.
Right.
You know, like maybe it was the mask. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe it was the store employee zooming in on the face. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was certainly surprising. I feel like I was very fortunate to have been given someone's actual email address that they had remembered that the person had used previously. And so I think that was sort of the key piece to solving it as quickly as I did. And then obviously them leaving their ID in a stolen car with mine and then pulling my ID out on camera just sort of solidified everything.
I'm trying to do the reverse side of this. If I was just innocent, I'm signing up for merchant rewards. That's always like a use case with my pseudo. And it's like, it's a good reason if you're a good actor to give a pseudo email when you're signing up for your rewards. Because
right.
if anybody has access to that, we always say you're compartmentalizing these different facets of your life. And so if you've got a specific shopping or merchant rewards pseudo, that is the only information they'll really have about you. They're not going to be able to link it back to anything personal for you. I mean, if you're going to continue using that everywhere, that one, you haven't segmented your life. So if you're just using that one, they will have a trail on you. But if you can segment and compartmentalize different emails for different purposes, what a bad actor may get on you is very minimal compared to taking everything.
And I think as well, I will admit with my gym memberships, I do use the My Pseudo. And so whenever they would refer to me, they're referring to me with a pseudonym, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, obviously makes you chuckle a little bit, right? Because
right.
I was able to figure out who it was because they didn't use a pseudonym and didn't use a fake address and
right.
not necessarily a fake email or anything like that, but didn't use My Pseudo or some sort of alias that that they could use to sort of obfuscate who they are.
Too young and too naive, at least, but...
Yeah, the facial recognition software. My mind was wandering to Vegas because the casinos are probably the most sophisticated when it comes to that whole world. And yeah.
There's cameras where you don't think there's cameras.
I remember watching a documentary and, you know, one of the VPs of security at one of those casinos was like, it's pretty simple. It's like, if you're in the casino, you're either there to gamble or to eat. And if you're not doing either one, we're going to be looking at you.
Yeah.
And you wonder what happens to all of that information. Because we did something on the podcast a while back where maybe it was with Colin. I think we were talking about how a lot of police departments are using facial recognition now to just automatically go after criminals. And it's not always very accurate. So there's been cases where they arrest people and it was just a false ID. It was the wrong person, but they're just using that AI technology like it's the Bible.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, for me, it was pretty obvious that the individual, they had curly hair, sort of had
you had the right one.
Yeah.
And I guess, what did you learn from all of this?
Oh, I would say one recommendation that I have for individuals in general is, one, don't carry unnecessary items in your wallet, right? So be deliberate, we'll say, about what you carry in your wallet. Two, I would say maybe consider not having addresses of individuals that you care about in your wallet as well. So for example, on my IDs, I had certain addresses that I wouldn't want a criminal to have. So it's made me think about how I want to approach that in the future. And number three, just be a little bit more aware of your surroundings, especially when you get into a routine or a habit.
That's a good one, because I know over time, my wallet has grown. It needs to go on a diet. There's a lot of stuff that's in there. And every time I go out, I'm like, I don't really need 90% of what's in here. What happens if I lost it?
I'm super simple with mine. I'm like, okay, what do I actually need? So I carry my driver's license, my debit card, and like my insurance card, just in case I'm like, I end up at the hospital or something. But whenever I'm leaving anywhere, if I'm going place to place, leave the house or leave the gym, wherever, I go keys, phone, wallet. As long as I have those three items, I know I have what I need and I won't go anywhere. But I remember I opened up I just have like a little crossbody bag. I take it with me into the gym. I do the classes and they have cubbies in the class. So at least my bag is with me at all times. But I opened it up and I was like, oh my gosh, I have a lot of gift cards in here. I have cash in here. Crosses my mind. I don't know if it's like a female thing. I'm always on like the defense, but I'm like, if somebody got a hold of this, there's like a lot of good stuff in here right now. And so I usually try to just like thin it out. What's my bare minimums that I need to have on me right now? That's like... But I always do that keys, phone, wallet. And if I don't have one of those, like I won't leave where I am because I know, like, especially because my life is in my phone. I have my essentials in my purse. Those are the things that I always, those are my check boxes.
Good words to live by.
And I think as well, I mean, so those who aren't here in person right now, I'm showing them my actual wallet in terms of the size, right? It's pretty small, but I have the essentials, right? So I have my credit cards, my debit card, form of ID or whatnot, things like that. Maybe I would like to probably carry a few other things, but I try and sort of skim it down to the bare essentials.
Minimalistic.
Yeah. And sometimes cash is good in case something happens to your card or, you know, even like Apple Pay is on your phone now. So I've done that before. I went to the gas station. I was like at the teller and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot my wallet. I was like, oh, but do you take Apple Pay? And they're like, yeah, we're good. So I'm like, I even have that on my phone. So this phone is like, if something happened to it, I am in so much trouble.
That's why it almost becomes more important as the years, I think, progress, having a backup battery just in case. Because if your phone runs out, then it's like, then your world shuts down. Maybe you don't have access to that cash.
Yeah. Yep.
Or even worse scenarios, right? You always want to be prepared, right? Scout motto. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I just did an international trip here recently, and the bank that I use in that particular country, it's not really feasible to go use a debit card and draw cash out, which is really the best way to get the best currency exchange and all that good stuff, that at least the currency exchange rate. So I took a whole bunch of cash with me, and I wasn't always thinking, and there were times when I had all of it in the wallet walking around. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I should just leave most.
Leave most in the
hotel room. But again, you know, there's a lot going on. You're thinking about other things, and so it's... It is good. It's nice, like you said, Sarah, you've got kind of this checklist that you always go through whenever you leave.
Keys, phone, wallet. Yes, those three things. But yeah, I mean, spreading your cash out if you're going to have cash, like that's a different rabbit hole. But like just to keep it just in case. We always have those just in case. Keep something in your wallet to get you gas if you needed it, or keep a couple hundred in a safe at home, or you just never really know what you might need it for. But I think as well, it's like I was thinking about, you weren't sure if you left it in the car or it fell out in the car. I think sometimes people think leaving it like in the glove box in the car is safe if you're going into the gym. But I'm like, well, if somebody breaks into my car, then they're taking that. So we always just keep everything as close to your person as often as possible. I'm always on the defense though. It's sort of a female thing. Everybody's out to get me. I've got my keys ready to stab someone, you know?
Well, it's a matter of like understanding your vulnerability, right? I would say understanding your vulnerability, not necessarily as a woman, but more so just understanding in general, right? If you're going to an area that's sketchy, do you want to leave those valuables, whatever they might be, whether they're digital assets or whatnot, do you want to leave those in your car, or where do you want to keep them?
Always aware of your environment. Kind of goes with everything with tech. Yeah. Somebody could be looking at your stuff or leaving something behind. If you step away from your computer and you're at the coffee shop, it's sort of endless. You just always have to be aware of what's happening.
And maybe to go down the paranoia track a little bit. You know, you're talking about these people working at these different retail establishments that are just coughing up all this PII on people. I think that's concerning, one. Two, it also just kind of makes you think about the people who have access to your information at these places. And again, I mean, it's very easy for somebody to take that and do something with it. A lot of inside jobs, hear stories about restaurants taking your credit card information. They go take that credit card in the back to go run the payment through. And then all of a sudden you start seeing all these other charges show up. But the other part, back to Sarah's comment on the whole compartmentalization thing too, is I think it's another good use case for MySudo, because, you know, where you don't have to really use all of your information, like make up a different email address or like you use a pseudonym for the gym. That's a good idea, because if somebody does get access to that, now there's this long data trail that they can tie back to your physical address and a whole bunch of other things. So really, to be proactive, I guess, is the smart thing here.
You had me thinking about when you said somebody go to the back and like do something with your card. There's been videos going around online of a McDonald's employee who has her phone sitting by her cash register. It's just videoing and she's taking pictures. So when she takes your card to swipe it, she's taking a picture, swipes it, gives it back to you. So then she's got your information. She's just doing that with everybody that's giving your card. Oh. Almost like your tap to pay may be safer if you don't have to give a physical card to somebody. Because I always think about that. As soon as I hand over my card, I'm like, I keep my eye on it, because I'm like, I'm making sure all you're doing is swiping my transaction. So I know we have like a physical Apple card and those have no numbers on it. Those is just a piece of metal that they just scan, or your tap to pay is with your phone. I think those are a lot safer. Your virtual card, you know, it's just wherever you can use it and not have a physical card, I think sometimes is a lot safer.
I will say it is still kind of funny to me that they still refer to me in my alias at the gym.
So now they call you Doug or something.
Right.
I've done that. They're like, hi, Becky. I'm like, yeah, hi.
Hey, Sven.
You know, you forget that you're like, oh, yeah. And my husband will use it for packages. And I'm like, who's Tim? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's me. I ordered something. It is fun to kind of use those pseudonames.
Yeah, it makes you feel a little bit more like a secret agent or something.
You're like, you don't know who I am.
Makes you, brings a grin.
It's a nice little barrier.
Yeah.
A lot of good lessons packed into the story, I think. Sorry it happened to you, but it sounds like all in all, it turned out to be positive.
Yeah, and I think it was a big learning experience for me on what it feels like to have your identity stolen, even on a minor scale, right? Because when we think about the different ways that your identity can be stolen, credit card theft is pretty low on the scale of, we'll say, time it takes to resolve or have resolution. Versus someone who's, let's say, home title might be stolen or their social security number or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've had my credit card compromised twice and it was pretty quick. I got a new one replaced and they were pretty quick to fix it. In one case, their AI tools told me up front. And then in another case, I was the one that spotted it. But I just can't imagine losing the whole wallet. It really has me thinking again about doing an audit of my wallet to see what do I really need to put in there every time I go out? Because that's a lot to lose.
Yeah. When our home was broken into, they stole, I used to carry a bigger wallet and it had my checkbook was in it. Everything was in there. Checkbooks, gift cards, every credit card, every debit card. And it really, it had so much in there. And so then when it does go missing or gets stolen, you're like, oh God, not only was it my debit card, but your checks have account numbers on them. So you're just like, oh, it's just like, now I need to get new account numbers because they have, you know, it's just this checklist of things that you're immediately just like, oh my gosh, because I've had my card hacked so many times. I'm like the reason we have virtual cards, because I need to mask my card because I shop online all the time. So can't always trust these sites that you're using. And I think I've mentioned before where if you're shopping online, make sure you're not doing that thing that says, yeah, remember my card for next time. I never do that anymore because I'm like, if somebody's going to log into my account and my card information is just sitting there and it's saved, they can either shop with it, take it somewhere else. So definitely don't check that box that says it's easy to say save it for later, or just don't do it because it's just another trail and another piece of your information.
Or if you do it, right, like make sure that it's a secure way to do it, right? Because I mean, let's be honest, obviously the criminal that stole my wallet was not the most sophisticated.
Right. A child, basically.
Much more impulsive, we'll say, than premeditated or anything like
that. They were just trying to be quick and buy as much as they could before you noticed.
I mean, obviously, they premeditated to a point when they grabbed my wallet. They said, hey, you know, let's go on a spending spree, right?
Right.
But it's not the same as sort of scammers in India, where this is what they do every day and they're getting more tactical and more strategic on how they scam you and things like that.
It's not a data breach where
Any parting words of wisdom you want to leave us before we wrap this up?
I guess since I talked about scouting, be prepared. Yeah. Be prepared and think deliberately about what you do, especially in your routine habits, right? Think about, does this make sense? Is this the smartest decision? Am I protecting myself in the most efficacious way?
And a cautionary note to the criminals, if you're targeting Sedge, it's probably the wrong target.
He's coming for you.
Yeah. I'm gunning for you. Yeah.
99.9% of the rest of the people, sure, but not Sedge.
Well, if the tech industry doesn't work out, you can always be an investigator. Seem to work out for you.
Yeah. Maybe a detective.
OPI. Yeah. Anything else, Sarah?
No, that was great.
Well, great. I appreciate you giving us time and telling us your story. And yeah, I think this is another one of those little case studies, if you will, that's got me thinking. So I'm probably going to change some of my behaviors as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate the time, Sedge.
Yep.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. In our next episode, we'll be speaking to someone who once served as an intelligence officer in the U.S. Army. We'll be discussing the similarities between military interrogation methods and the types of social engineering techniques employed by the modern threat actor. In cybersecurity and in security related to your personally owned smart devices, the human is often the weakest link. This episode will arm you with the knowledge to make a bad actor's job just a little more difficult. Until next time, don't forget, privacy is a human right.